Happy to have each and every one of you in our building this morning, because you are an encouragement beyond words. And I'm reminded of something that happened in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, when a noble man from Ethiopia went all the way to Jerusalem to worship. That tells you something about his dedication. And he's headed home reading the prophet Isaiah, and you know the story. Philip comes in contact with him and began at that verse and preached unto him Jesus, and he baptized him. And the Bible says, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip such that he saw him no more, but that the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. And I saw something this morning that made me rejoice. I was sitting up here, and I don't know if all of you could see it, but it always thrills me when these little kids and our young people come up and give. But a little brother and a little sister came up here, and she was putting her money, her little coins, in the bank. And little brother was not going to leave until she took his hand and went with him. Now, folks, that's what it's all about. Am I right, Larry? That's what it's all about. He was not going to leave until baby sister went with him. And I can't think of anything that ought to bring us any more joy as adults than that kind of fellowship. Amen, church. Now then, I want you to listen to the Word of God as we look at the opposite.
Good morning. Scriptures, Matthew 19, verses 16 through 22. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I have eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witnesses. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have to keep from my youth. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions.
Let church say amen. Amen. I asked this fine young man to read that because it's the total opposite of the two illustrations I just used. It's the total opposite of a nobleman who went on his way rejoicing. It's the total opposite of a brother who wasn't going to leave without his sister holding his hand. He went away sorrowful. And I submit to you this morning that there's a few other things that took place here. In terms of going away from Christ. In going away from Jesus, not only did he go away sorrowful, but he went away in a sinful condition. Now let that thought soak in for a moment. A sinful condition. The proverb writer stated that righteousness exalts a nation. We need to learn that in this country, don't we, Bobby? Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And if you really chew on this a little bit, you have to admit this young man, in going away sorrowful, had an idol in his heart. Somebody said, "Wait a minute, preacher, I don't read anything about idolatry there." Well, in Colossians 3 and verse 5, Paul says that Christians are to mortify the members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections. Now that's not homosexuality. That's not what that word means. It's talking about inappropriate appreciation and affection and love. For what? For material things. Material things. Covetousness, which is idolatry. It's not just bowing before some graven image, but it's putting something ahead of God. Are you listening? It's putting something ahead of our affection for God. And that's why when the children of Israel were coming out of Egypt and they stop off there at Mount Sinai, y'all remember that? And Moses goes up to get the law and he comes back to tell them and show them those tablets with those commandments engraved. What's the first one? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And so that kind of sin is idolatry. The New Testament's going to teach us that sin is a transgression of the law. I just spent 26 years dealing with that. Knowing that when I went into court, I had to plead with specificity. A day, a location, a charge. And every one of those charges had specific elements. Well, guess what? Under the Old Testament, that's what you read about. And that's why the Bible says that sin is a transgression of the law. And tragically, so many times in your life and in mine, I salve and soothe my conscience by saying, ain't never done that, ain't never done that, ain't never done that, ain't never done that. Well, guess what? The I ain't never done that is a sin. Because James said, to him who knoweth to do what's right and ain't never done that, to him it is sin. So sin is a transgression of the law. Sin is not doing what we know we're capable of doing. Now go back to this young man that deals with Jesus. He had not per se transgressed the law, or had he? He had transgressed by his failure to do what Jesus told him to do. And the Bible says he went away sorrowful. He went away in sin because of the sin of omission. Well, not only that, not only did he go away in sin, he went away in a state of opinion. Now, right here is where I'm fixing to lose some of you. Because we've all got one. We've all got an opinion. And based on your background and your upbringing and even your education, that opinion can change and vacillate. It's basically a preconceived notion of how things ought to be. But guess what? In this guy's case, his opinion was contrary from what the Lord said. And I can't think of a time in the history of the world when that's more true than it is this morning. What is happening to us, people? We say, oh, it can't get any worse. Well, just keep watching the news. It is. It can't be any more blatant and in your face. Oh, well, just keep watching the news. And it is a slap in the face to what God has taught us. It's people intentionally, I'm just not going to do that. I just don't believe that's what God, I know God wants me to be happy. And so I'm not going, well, guess what? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 in verse 7 that we walk by faith, not by sight. And faith is not my opinion, your opinion, our opinion. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. There it is. Not my opinion. Not what I feel, not what I think, but what does this book say? That's why there is a great deal of difference between faith and opinion. And Paul again says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Now here's the whole point. This young man went away sorrowful. Why? Because his opinion was in conflict with what the Lord commands. And once again, our world is rampant with what we think and what we feel, as opposed to what we know God said. And so here's a young man who goes away in a sinful condition. Here's a young man who goes away in a state of opinion. And here's a man who was reckless. Now let me teach you a little bit about the law. Some of you already know this. If somebody kills someone, the charge that's handed down from the indictment of grand jury says they intentionally caused the death of another person. That's murder. And in Alabama, we don't have murder in the first or second, third. We don't have those degrees. We either have murder or capital murder. But it is intentional. But then again, Alabama has another statute called manslaughter. And I was teaching my criminal law class at Faulkner a number of years ago, and one of the men spoke up and said, that sounds a whole lot worse than murder. Manslaughter sounds worse than murder, but it is. It's, again, taking somebody's life, but guess what? Recklessly causing the death of another person. Now, here's my whole point, and it took a few minutes to get there. Thank you for listening. The word reckless means a conscious disregard for a known danger. Was this young man reckless? Sure he was. Because of this consciousness, he knew. He couldn't walk away saying, I didn't know any better. He couldn't walk away and say, I didn't understand. He couldn't walk away and say, well, the Lord made it too complicated. No, it was all very, very clear. It was all very, very clear. And he walked away recklessly, disregarding consciously what Jesus said. And that's why I say again, James was exactly right when he says to him that knoweth to do what's right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, why do you think James said it that way? Why do you think Jesus put it that way? Here it is. Because your soul, are you listening? Your soul is too precious for us to be reckless with it. Your soul is too precious for you to consciously disregard a known danger. Here's the way Jesus put it. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his shirt in the stock market? Is that what your Bible says? If that's what your Bible says, you need a new Bible. What shall a man profit if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What good is it when you get where you're going financially? And not only do you not have anybody around you that can stand you, but they have to walk away from your grave knowing that you're going to spend eternity in a devil's hell. What good is it? What shall it profit if a man should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You ever thought about what it means for a person to depart from Jesus? You ever thought about what it means for a person to just leave the Lord? I think all the time, and I've illustrated repeatedly about old Demas. Demas was on a missionary journey with Paul. And Paul writes, and he says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And I couldn't help but think this morning in our class, as David so very well taught, about those folks that left Jesus when he needed them the most. And it didn't just start at the trial or arrest and trial and execution of Jesus. It started way back when Jesus taught some tough things, and the Bible says that upon hearing this, many turned and walked with him no more. And Jesus turns to his own disciples and said, would ye also go away? Well, that's this guy. He went away sorrowful. And he walked away from the Savior. He walked away from the one that gives life. More than that, he walked away from the one who would judge him. Because Jesus said, the words that I speak, the same shall judge you in the last day. But I'm so glad that the Bible speaks of opposites. I'm so glad that the Bible speaks of those that went on their way rejoicing. I'm so glad that Jesus told a parable about somebody that was willing to sell all they had to get the pearl of great price. And that tells old Gary that he's got to do a better job of concentrating his efforts on staying close to Jesus. Because Satan is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And if we're not careful, we're going to be just as reckless, that conscious disregard for a known danger. And so the young man was reckless. The young man walked away in a state of opinion. The young man walked away in a sinful condition. The young man was rebellious. And maybe you never thought about it that way. Maybe you never thought about the little sin that you commit, the little sin that I commit. No. That it being rebellious. And one of the clearest illustrations of this is in the Old Testament as God was trying to deal with the very first king. You remember the story. Israel just wouldn't have it. But they had to have a king so they could be like everybody else. And so they picked somebody based on what? Kind of like us, looks and appearance. And okay, they pick Saul. He's told to utterly destroy the Amalekites. You remember the story. But he's spared. He spared the stock. And then comes back and tells Samuel, I obeyed the Lord. Sounds like some of us, doesn't it? Oh yeah, I've done that. I did right. I did what the Lord said. And I love the way Samuel says, what is this, the lowing of the cattle? What is it I'm hearing? And he makes this marvelous statement. Are you ready for it? To obey is better than sacrifice. Because, see, Saul crawfished and made an excuse. Oh, I spared these cattle so we could sacrifice them to the Lord. Yeah. And Samuel tells Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken. What? To listen than the fat of rams. And so the Bible speaks very clearly that when you and I fail to do what God says, or we overtly do that which is contrary to His word, we are in rebellion to God. And here's a fellow that walked away from Jesus in rebellion. Somebody says, why? Well, the same thing that happens to us happened to him. And the same thing that happened to him happens to us, the disease that's killing us. And I guess in the King James, they had not invented meism. But that's exactly what it was. He walked away in of his own accord. He walked away because of a self-willing spirit. There was nobody there forcing him. And I'm so glad that one of the things the Bible teaches us is that God made us as free moral agents. He gave us volition. He gave us choice. And that's why Joshua would say in the Old Testament, choose you this day whom you will serve. Mine an elegant translation, the GBV, make up your mind whom you are going to serve. Are you going to serve the gods of our fathers that dwelt on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's another beautiful illustration of this in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. I marked it because I know I was going there. The Apostle Paul says something in Acts chapter 13 and verse 46. Because again, he's on trial. And he waxed bold, the Bible says. Now watch this. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was not necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you, judge yourselves unworthy and everlasting life, we turn to the Gentiles. Now again, understand the magnitude of this. On the day of Pentecost, they got 3,000 folks that obey the gospel. No Gentiles. They're all Jews. And one of the issues that almost destroyed the early church is this one. Are we going to allow Gentiles in the church? And with the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul, his mission was to do just this. And that was to go into the Gentiles and to take the gospel with them. And so when he says this in Acts chapter 13 and verse 46, there is a word that jumps off the page at me. Because again, going back, they waxed bold and said it was necessary. Does that sound like the two little boys that I read about one time, and they were told to clean up their room, and one wasn't there, about 3 or 4 years old. One of them wasn't helping, and mama came to the door and looked, and the older brother said to the younger brother, you need to help. This is not an optional experience in your life. Well, that kind of sounds like what Paul's saying here, doesn't it? This was necessary. This was not an optional experience in your life. What's necessary? That the Word of God. Walter, is that necessary in Honduras, brother? You think just a little bit. It's necessary that those precious people know the Word of God, isn't it? Guess what? It's necessary that the people in Chilton County know the Word of God. And my self-willed spirit, your self-willed spirit gets in the way. Just like this got in the way. This young man went away sorrowful because he was frustrated and caught, like so many in our community and in the religious world, he's caught between two decisions. Which bad decision do I make? If I do this, I'm going to lose some money. He went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. And if I go this way, I'm not really sure what that's going to do. And the tragedy of all of this is that he went away lost. Now, I want you to think about that word, because it's not just an eternal issue. It's right now. Now, Amy, in teaching grammar, I got a feeling that you teach some children about state of being verbs, right? David hinted at it as well this morning. I want people to know that being lost is not just something that comes after the judgment and that we are condemned eternally to a devil's hell. Being lost is a state of being now. Just like being saved is a state of being. Do I have to wait until judgment when I'm in heaven before I'm saved? Do your head like this. Are you saved today? Do your head like this. See, it's a state of being now. Well, guess what? Being lost is a state of being now. And there's no need for it. It's not just going to be tragic at the judgment. It's going to be tragic now. And I'm so glad that the Bible gives us a picture, as I said in the beginning, about those who went on their way rejoicing. I'm so glad that the Bible tells us in Acts 2 about those 3,000 that obeyed the gospel, that they received it with gladness. And I'm so glad that God gives us the ability to say, I'm saved now. Because the tragedy of the opposite is overwhelming. What I'm saying to you today is this. There's no reason for anybody to walk out of this building lost. There's no reason for anybody to walk out of this building sorrowful. There's no reason for anybody to walk out of this building in a rebellious, reckless state. I'm so glad that there is within the realm of possibility this morning for everybody in this room to walk out of this room saved. But if you've never been baptized in water for the remission of sins, that can't happen. Because the Bible says, the like figure whereunto baptism doth now save us. And so if you've never been baptized in water, I say again, I don't want to be misunderstood. We hope to baptize you this morning. At the singing of our invitation song, you can come down this aisle and give me your hand and God your heart, and we'll baptize you. But guess what? I'm aware of the fact that Satan is out there working double time. He's working overtime. And some of you have had a hard time paying attention in the course of this lesson because Satan is trying to distract you. Satan is trying to dispute what I'm saying. Satan is trying to dispute what God says, even in His Word. And so if you need the prayers of this church, if you need to rededicate your life, if you need to be restored, we'll pray with you. We'll pray for you. Right now, while we stand, while we sing, Matt will lead us.
Stay and hear, ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's breast. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. Then His loving, tender voice obeying, bear His yoke, His burden take. Find the yoke his hand is on you laying, light and easy for his sake. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, lean upon your dear Lord's breast. Ye that labor and are heavy laden, come and I will give you rest. Using your songbook, turn with me to number 622. 622. We'll sing the first stanza of this one. We'll be dismissed in prayer. There's a message true and glad for the sinful and the sad. Ring it out, ring it out. It will give them courage new. It will help them to be true. Ring it out, ring it out, ring out. Still far from Jesus, many live in sin and die. Ring out the news that makes men free to all the